Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. We ask you to provide us with the questions, if you have questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we do our very best to try to answer those questions. If you have a question for us, please send us an email. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, "Are there certain spiritual gifts that we should seek after most in our lives?" Close quote. Following baptism, each of us has hands laid on our heads to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we are faithful, we can have His influence continually with us. Through Him, each of us can be blessed with certain spiritual powers called gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are given to those who are faithful to Christ. Quote, "All these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God," close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 26. They help us to know and teach the truths of the gospel. Like Paul's grand description of the body of Christ, each spiritual gift plays an important role in the development as the church as a whole. In this regard, the answer for the church in general would have to be that they are all necessary. Regarding the importance of spiritual gifts in the restored church, President Heber J. Grant said the following, quote, "The Latter-day Saints are the only people on the face of the earth who claim to possess divine authority as restored to the earth in the 19th century and who testify that they enjoy the same gifts and blessings that the saints in ancient days rejoiced in," close quote. Along those same lines, the prophet Joseph spoke of the right of the Latter-day Church to enjoy the same spiritual blessings as previous gospel dispensations. He explained, quote, "We believe in the gift of the Holy Ghost being enjoyed now as much as it was in the apostles' days. We believe that it, the gift of the Holy Ghost, is necessary to make and to organize the priesthood, that no man can be called to fill any office in the ministry without it. We also believe in prophecy, in tongues, in visions, and in revelations, in gifts, and in healings, and that these things cannot be enjoyed without the gift of the Holy Ghost," close quote. If we learn to recognize and use the spiritual gifts that we individually are blessed with, we'll learn to answer the question for ourselves. Whatever the gifts that we've been given, they will help us to bless others. They will guide us back to our Father in heaven. To use our gifts wisely, we need to know what they are and how we can develop them. Of all of the spiritual gifts that we can seek, there are some which have been specified in the Scriptures. In nearly every standard work, the Lord has revealed many of the gifts of the Spirit. Considering some of them individually will provide us with a better understanding of the power of these gifts in our lives. One of the most prominent of the spiritual gifts, one which receives much consideration and attention, is the gift of tongues. President Joseph Fielding Smith spoke of the importance of the gift of tongues in our time. He said, quote, "The gift of tongues is made manifest in the church more abundantly, perhaps, than any other spiritual gift. Every missionary who goes forth to teach the gospel in a foreign language, if he is prayerful and faithful, receives this gift. This is the idea in Paul's remarks, wherefore tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. This was the nature of the gift on the day of Pentecost when Peter and the apostles spoke to the assembled Jews who had come to Jerusalem from foreign lands to attend the feast. Each understood in his own tongue. There are hundreds of testimonies by elders who have carried the gospel to foreign lands, similar to the day of Pentecost," close quote. Joseph Smith recognized that the utility of the gift of tongues in the restored church was the same as it was during the primitive church. Quote, "I read in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, also a part of the 14th chapter, and remark that the gift of tongues was necessary in the church. But if Satan could not speak in tongues, he could not tempt a Dutchman or any other nation but the English. For he can tempt the Englishman, for he has tempted me, and I am an Englishman. But the gift of tongues by the power of the Holy Ghost in the church is for the benefit of the servants of God to preach to unbelievers as on the day of Pentecost, when devout men from every nation shall assemble to hear the things of God, let the elders preach to them in their own mother tongue, whether it is German, French, Spanish, or Irish, or any other, and let those interpret who understand the language spoken in their own mother tongue. And this is what the apostle meant in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, close quote. Wherever the gift of tongues is given, the gift of the interpretation of tongues is likewise manifest. President McKay said, quote, "One of the most important events on my world tour of the missions of the church was the gift of the interpretation of the English tongue given to the saints in New Zealand. At a session of their conference held on the 23rd day of April, 1921, at Puketu Huntly Waketo. The service was held in a large tent beneath the shade of which hundreds of earnest men and women gathered, in anxious anticipation of seeing and hearing an apostle of the church, the first one to visit the land. When I looked over the vast assemblage and contemplated the great expectations that filled the hearts of all who had met together, I realized how inadequately I must satisfy the ardent desires of their souls, and I yearned most earnestly for the gift of tongues that I might be able to speak to them in their native language. Until that moment, I had not given much serious thought to the gift of tongues, but on that occasion, I wished with all my heart that I might be worthy of that divine power. In other missions, I had spoken through an interpreter, but able as all interpreters were, I nevertheless felt hampered, in fact, somewhat inhibited in presenting my message. Now I faced an audience that had assembled with unusual expectations, and I then realized, as never before, the great responsibility of my office. From the depths of my soul, I prayed for divine assistance. When I arose to give my address, I said to Brother Stuart Miha, our interpreter, that I would speak without his translating, sentence by sentence, what I said, and then to the audience I continued. I wish I had the power to speak to you in your own tongue, that I might tell you what is in my heart. But since I have not the gift, I pray and ask you to pray that you might have the spirit of interpretation, of discernment, that you may understand at least the spirit while I'm speaking. And then you'll get the words and the thought when Brother Meha interprets. My sermon lasted 40 minutes, and I've never addressed a more attentive, more respectful audience. My listeners were in perfect rapport. This I knew when I saw tears in their eyes. Some of them, at least, perhaps most of them, who did not understand English, had the gift of interpretation. Brother Sidney Christie, a native New Zealander who had been a student at Brigham Young University, at the close of my address whispered to me, "Brother McKay, they got your message." "Yes," I replied, "I think so," close quote. Another gift that follows the true Church of God is the gift of translation. If we have been called by the leaders of the church to translate the word of the Lord, we can receive a gift to translate beyond our own natural ability. As with all gifts, we must live righteously. When we do these things, the Lord causes us to feel a burning inside concerning the correctness of the translation. Joseph Smith had the gift of translation when he translated the Book of Mormon. This gift came to him only when he was in tune with the Spirit. Not all spiritual gifts are manifest in such outward ways. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge can be powerful blessings to us in our spiritual progression, and they are gifts which are revealed to us personally. These intimate gifts can be every bit as important to us as the outward variety. Some of us have been blessed with the ability to understand people and the principles of the gospel as they apply in our lives. We are told, quote, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord," close quote. That from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The Lord has also said, "Seek not for riches, but for wisdom, and behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you," close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verse 7. Everyone who becomes like Heavenly Father eventually knows all things. The knowledge of God and His laws are revealed by the Holy Ghost. We cannot be saved if we are ignorant of these laws. The Lord revealed, quote, "If a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come," close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 19. Elder David A. Bednar spoke of learning in this manner in the April 2010 General Conference.
In the grand division of all of God's creations, there are things to act and things to be acted upon. As children of our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed with the gift of moral agency, the capacity and power of independent action. Endowed with agency, we are agents, and we primarily are to act and not merely be acted upon, especially as we seek learning by study and also by faith. As gospel learners, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. Our hearts are opened to the influence of the Holy Ghost as we properly exercise agency and act in accordance with correct principles, and we thereby invite His teaching and testifying power. Parents have the sacred responsibility to help children to act and to seek learning by faith. And brothers and sisters, a child is never too young to take part in this pattern of learning. Giving a man a fish feeds him for one meal. Teaching a man to fish feeds him for a lifetime. As parents and gospel instructors, you and I are not in the business of distributing fish. Rather, our work is to help our children learn to fish and to become spiritually steadfast. This vital objective is best accomplished as we encourage our children to act in accordance with correct principles as we help them to learn by doing. Such learning requires spiritual, mental, and physical exertion and not just passive reception.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We received a question that says, quote, "Are there certain spiritual gifts that we should seek after most in our lives?" Close quote. Well, the Lord has commanded us to learn as much as we can about His work. He wants us to learn about the heavens, the earth, things that have happened or will happen, things at home and in foreign lands. However, there are those who will try to gain knowledge by their own study alone. They do not ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. They are those who are willing to learn but never arrive at the truth. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, they are those who are always learning but never arrive at the truth. When we receive knowledge by revelation from the Holy Ghost, His Spirit speaks to our minds and to our hearts. Elder Dallin H. Oaks made special emphasis of the importance of striving for such spiritual knowledge in the April 2008 General Conference.
One of the greatest things about our Heavenly Father's plan for His children is that each of us can know the truth of that plan for ourselves. That revealed knowledge does not come from books, from scientific proof, or from intellectual pondering. As with the Apostle Peter, we can receive that knowledge directly from our Heavenly Father through the witness of the Holy Ghost. When we know spiritual truths by spiritual means, we can be just as sure of that knowledge as a scholar or scientist is of the different kinds of knowledge they have acquired by different methods. The prophet Joseph Smith provided a wonderful example of this. When he was persecuted for telling people about his vision, he likened his circumstance to the Apostle Paul, who was ridiculed and reviled as he made his defense before King Agrippa. But all of this did not destroy the reality of his vision, Joseph said. He had seen a vision, he knew he had, and all the persecution under heaven could not make it otherwise. So it was with me, Joseph continued. I had actually seen a light, and in the midst of that light I saw two personages, and they did in reality speak to me. I had seen a vision, I knew it, and I knew that God knew it, and I could not deny it, neither dared I.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. To some, the spiritual gifts of receiving wisdom and knowledge are given, and still to others, the ability to teach the same is given. Some people are given a special ability to explain and testify of the truths of the gospel. This gift can be used when we teach a class. can be used by parents to teach their children. This gift also helps us to instruct others so that they can understand the gospel. In many instances, this gift is closely tied to another. To some, it is given to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In addition to those who testify through their teaching example, this has been the gift of the prophets and apostles who have been called as special witnesses of Jesus Christ. However, others are also given this gift. Every person can have a testimony through the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. President David O. McKay taught, quote, "It is given unto some," says the Lord in the Doctrine and Covenants, "to know by the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was crucified for the sins of the world. It is to these I refer who stand firm upon the rock of revelation in the testimony that they bear it to the world," close quote. The value of such a testimony to the church and the individual is immeasurable. Elder M. Russell Ballard in the October 2004 General Conference talks about gaining a real testimony.
Simply stated, testimony, real testimony, born of the Spirit and confirmed by the Holy Ghost, changes lives, changes how you think and what you do, changes what you say. It affects every priority you set and every choice you make. To have a real and abiding testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be spiritually born of God, to receive his image in your countenances, and to experience the mighty change in your hearts. Now, like everything else in life, testimonies grow and develop through experience and service. We often hear some members, and especially children, bear their testimonies, listing the things for which they're thankful. They're thankful and express love of family, the church, their teachers, their friends. For them, the gospel is something that they're grateful for and because it makes them feel happy and secure. This is good, but it's just a beginning. Testimonies need to be much more. They need to be anchored very early to the first principles of the gospel. A testimony of the reality of Heavenly Father's love, of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, and the effect of his atonement on every son and daughter of God brings about the desire to repent and to live worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost. It also brings a confirmation to our soul of the restoration of the gospel in these latter days. Real testimony of these precious truths come as a witness by the Holy Ghost after sincere, dedicated effort, including teachings in the home, prayer, scripture study, service to others, and diligent striving to be obedient the Heavenly Father's commandments. The gain and forever hold on to a testimony of the gospel truths is worth, brothers and sisters, whatever price in spiritual preparation we may be required to pay.
That's Elder M. Russell Ballard. This testimony often comes as a result of one of the most valuable of all spiritual gifts, the gift of faith. The brother of Jared had great faith, and he received other gifts as a result. His faith was so great that the Savior appeared unto him. Often the gift of faith will give us strength and understanding when we need it most. President Gordon B. Hinckley relayed an experience where the power of faith was manifest. From the April 2001 General Conference, here's President Gordon B. Hinckley.
One of the speakers, a woman, told a story the likes of which you have heard many times. As I remember it, she recounted a time in their lives when the missionaries knocked on their door. She had not the remotest idea of what they were teaching. However, she invited them in, and she and her husband listened to their message. It was, for them, an unbelievable story. They told of a boy who lived in the state of New York. He was 14 years of age when he read in the book of James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." desiring wisdom because various creeds each claim to have the truth, young Joseph determined to go into the woods and pray to the Lord. This he did, and he experienced a vision in response to his prayer. God, the Eternal Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, appeared before him and spoke with him. Other manifestations followed. Among these was securing from a hill near his home golden plates, which he translated by the gift and power of God. Heavenly messengers appeared to him, bestowing upon him keys of the priesthood and the authority to speak in the name of God. How could anyone believe such a story? It seemed preposterous. And yet these people believed as they were instructed. Faith came into their hearts to accept that which they had been taught. It was a miracle. It was a gift from God. They could not believe it, and yet they did.
That's President Hinckley. Faith as a spiritual gift is indispensable. Without faith, no other gift can be given. Moroni promises, quote, "Whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him," close quote. That from Mormon, chapter 9, verse 21. We should seek to increase our faith, find out our gifts, and use them. By studying the spiritual gifts and considering those gifts with which we have been blessed, we will come to see the importance that they have in our spiritual lives. Perhaps the Lord will reveal to us personally the spiritual gifts that He would individually have us seek. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Mormon Channel Q&A. If you'd like to download this episode of Q&A, just go to our website, radio.lds.org. Click on the podcast page. You can download it. You can listen to it anytime, and it's free. And if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please feel free to send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.